Welcome to Impact Ministries World Changer Weekend 2014. This is session number 20, and your speaker is Jimmy Bratcher.
Well, I've been talking about dream acceleration and the kind of the premise of that, and Alan was talking about dreams and getting back on track with your dreams, and I have a book, and there's actually one copy of my book left back there called Don't Take Your Dreams to the Grave, and I don't know if there's any in the bookstore. There might be. If not, you can go to our website, or you can go to Amazon and order that, or get it on Kindle, or whatever you like. But I've been talking about dream acceleration in the with the example of Joseph's life, that his life and his dreams really didn't start to accelerate until he became interested in the dreams of other people. And the premise that I use for that is that, you know, one of the prerequisites for a dream that I gave in the first session was that you can discern whether a dream is from God or not, because every dream that is from the Lord will always be about the family. And the reason that they will be about the family is because that's God's dream. That's his dream of this planet. That's the purpose why we are here, why he created us, why Jesus came to die for us, to reconcile us back, to be adopted back into the family that we properly belong, in the correct state that we belong as heirs and joint heirs. Every dream that God has is about the family. And this is a very precious, sacred thing that we're involved in. And I've been talking to you about it from an evangelistic perspective. And I have to do that without really, you know, I can say that now, but I have to do that without using the word evangelism. Because if I use the word evangelism, the response is that we've all done that, we've all tried that, it didn't work, it was very painful, and we don't ever want to do that again. And so we don't. And we have to change that in our culture, in our churches. We have to change that attitude, because if we don't, we will become extinct. There will be just a memory of what the church used to be. I believe that we are at a pivotal moment in our history and in our culture, in this country and in the world, where the church has the opportunity to shine brighter and to be more visible than at any other time, because of the message that's present here, because of the realities of the love of God. We can make a difference in people's lives by simply being who God created us to be. And that, to me, is a phenomenal thing. It's not a program that we work. It's something that happens very organically as we just simply engage relationally with people in our culture. Our culture around the world is screaming out, we want to have relationships. That's the key indicator that social media communicates to me. Even though it's so superficial and so shallow, it still tells me that there are billions of people on this planet that have a desire for relationships. And we are those who have the message of reconciliation that reconciles our family together. And so today I just want to talk briefly. I probably won't use all of my time, because I'm one of those people that realize that when I don't have anything to say, I should shut up. No, I'm not talking. Alan, you need to get over that insecurity right there, brother. I wasn't talking about any of my brothers or sisters who have spoken, but now the point of all my talks is that our dreams accelerate when we become interested in the dreams of other people. What are the dreams of other people? At their core, they want to experience the love of the family. And today I want to talk to you about the help that we have available to us to be able to function in our family. And I'm going to start by reading Acts 1:8 out of the New Living Translation. Acts 1:8. It says this, Jesus speaking, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then I want to jump to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, 22. In the New Living Translation, it reads like this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. These two passages of scriptures are hallmark passages for us who are Pentecostal charismatic people. Over the last few years, I have seen a decline in conversation and dialogue about the Holy Spirit. Part of that is because there was so many abuses of the and things done in the name of the Holy Spirit that may or may not actually have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. But regardless of what happened or what didn't happen, how it was abused or how it was correct, we still need to acknowledge and experience the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. The power of the Holy Spirit comes to us because there is a specific purpose that the Holy Spirit came. What is that purpose? To help us to witness. That word witness is the word martyr. To help us to witness to people the reality of our own death to flesh and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And why are we to do that? So that we can communicate that we're something special, so it can build up our egos? No, we're to do that because there are people who desperately are wanting to experience the love of the family. Why are we baptized in the Holy Spirit? Number one, because we need His help. We need His help. John 14, 26 says, but when the Father sends John 14, when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of all things that I said to you. John 14, 26. John 14, 16 in the New King James Version says, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever. Listen, when deity starts talking about sending deity to help me, it's like, hook me up to that deal, you know? What kind of an advantage is that? And that's what these passages of Scripture are about here. He's saying, look, me in my resurrected state, I'm saying to you, it's going to be better for you if I go away, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and He is going to help you. Why do we need His help? Because we don't know how to function in this family. We don't know how to be a productive member of this family. We have known how to be a destructive member in our family, but He comes to give us help. Now, I don't know if some of you all are as desperate to get help from the Holy Spirit as I am, but I'm desperate. And I've always been that way. Sherry and I got saved, we knew two things. We knew Jesus was real, and we didn't know nothing. Jesus was real, and we didn't know anything. And I really believe that has helped us throughout our life as Christians. I almost said our career as Christians. Through our life as Christians, because, you know, I've been around people, it's like they get saved, it's like add water, instant theologian. You can't tell them anything because they already have predetermined what their experience is going to be like. We need His help. When we came to Jesus, we knew we didn't know anything, which meant we had to shut up and be taught. One of my friends, pastor friends, says this: God will always meet you where you are willing. Where you're willing. And we found this passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 8:12, and it became one of our life verses. It says this: for it's accounted unto one not what he has, but what he does not have. God doesn't account things the way that you and I account things. He counts completely differently. And when we are willing, He shows up in our life. And we had this desperation that said, you know, we don't know how to function in this life that Jesus came to give us, so we have to be taught. And our one of the first things that happened to us after we received Jesus, we were in this little country church. You know, some of y'all think you live in a country. This was in the country. I mean, there are only 5,000 people in the whole county. It's like if you wanted to go to the store, you had to do it before 5:30 because nothing was open past 5:30. And we were out in the middle of nowhere. The church where we got saved, I'm not making this up, the name of the church where we got saved was God's Sheep Shed, where all the big sheep and the little lambs get fed. That was the deal, God's Sheep Shed. And we came to Jesus during our second wedding ceremony. Some of y'all know that story. We were hippies, showed up one Sunday night with a marriage license, and the pastor agreed to marry us if I'd get saved. He didn't explain nothing to me. He didn't take me down a Roman road. He was about this much bigger than me, and I was afraid of him, and I said yes. And right after our ceremony, when I believed on Jesus, I got up from there and knew I was different. We went down to pastor's house to sign the marriage license. And we're sitting there on the couch, and pastor's wife started talking to me. And I'd never heard anybody talk like that before. And she started talking to me, and now I know what it was. She was prophesying to me. I didn't have a clue what that was about, but all of a sudden something was exploded in me. That around what she was saying, I was saying yes. I was hearing the hallelujah chorus. I was translated into the heavenly realms. We're sitting there on the couch. She looked at me and she said, "Jimmy, well, now you're going to be in church all the time, aren't you?" It's like, yeah, man, I'm all jacked up and I came here and got help. And it's like, if I need some help, I'm going to come back here. I might not be the sharpest tack in a pile, but I'm smart enough to know that if there's help available and this is where it's at, I'm going to get to God's house and I'm going to get me some help. One Sunday morning we woke up and it snowed about knee deep. I couldn't get the car out of the driveway. We lived on a gravel road, and of course the snow plows didn't come by there. And so I went inside and said, "Baby, I'm sorry, you and the kids are going to have to stay home, but I'm going to walk to church." And so I took off walking in knee-deep snow. It was 2 miles there, 5 miles back, uphill both ways. I walked to church. I got there. They canceled church. I walked to the pastor's house. He came to the door. He goes, "What are you doing here? We canceled church." I said, "Yeah, I saw that. But you better get that Bible out because I'm jacked up. I got to have some help." Some of y'all don't understand help the way that I understand help. I need the help of the Holy Spirit because I don't know how to function in this family. And Jesus said he was going to give me power to be able to demonstrate the realities of what life is like in his family. And I just took it personal that when I received the Holy Spirit, that he was going to help me someplace other than at church. Because I don't know about you, but I didn't need a whole lot of help when I came to church because pretty much all I was doing was sitting there. I can do that pretty good, you know what I'm saying? But when I got home, life was beating my brains out. It was, because when Sherry and I mean, we knew how to do one thing really good in our first marriage, and that was fight. We could fight. I mean, nobody had to ring a bell. It was just like show up in the same room. It's 10 rounds, no holes barred, no water. But there was something in my heart that said, there's got to be something better. I think I wrote a song about that. There must be something better. And I can remember one day I came home from work. I pulled in the driveway in my 1968 Dodge Dart four-door slant six. It was like an indestructible car. You could not tear that car up. And I pulled in the driveway, and I'm sitting there facing the house. And I ain't got the courage to go inside because I know there's probably an angry woman in there because I did something dumb, you know? And I'm sitting there in this car, and I'm thinking, I don't want to go in there. I don't want to fight anymore. I don't want this environment to be in my house anymore. And I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to work up courage, and all of a sudden, I feel something down inside of my heart, and I'm feeling it, but it wasn't enough to get me out of the car yet. And I'm feeling it, and all of a sudden, I stick my finger out, and I start screaming at the house. The peace of God lives in that house, and those people that live in that house, they're people that are ruled by the peace of God, and that house has a testimony for the peace it possesses. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was using a gift of the Spirit. I was sticking my finger out, and I was prophesying to my world. I was speaking to my dream. I was declaring that thing that would be established. And it wasn't too long that there became a change in the atmosphere of our home. There became a shift. There became a new value. That value was for peace instead of chaos. And we began to see those things start to be fulfilled. One of the things that you need help from the Holy Spirit on is raising kids. Because there ain't nothing mess up the environment of your home more than kids. And when our daughter Amanda's our youngest, and she was our strong-willed child. Sherry would say, Amanda, her descriptive term for Amanda was, she's a miniature tank. Because she never walked around anything. She always walked right through the middle of it. And Amanda started, she's about 8, 9 years old. She started copping this attitude that was messing up the peace in our home. Anytime you would tell her no, she had a few manifestations that would manifest when you tell her no. She'd put her hand on her hip, stick her leg out, start shaking her leg and go, oh, huh. The peace just left. Or you'd tell her no, and she'd go stomping down the hall to her bedroom, wham, and slam the door, and the environment was just gone. And we'd had a manifestation like that one day where she stomped down the hall, and I'm sitting there about to get in the flesh. And all of a sudden, I hear something down inside my heart. It's a word of knowledge. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was kind of strange, but I just thought, well, what I got to lose? So I walked quietly down the hall and walked into Amanda's bedroom and opened the door, and I began to tell her about my word of knowledge. I said, Amanda, I can tell that you're having problems with the word no. So I just wanted to let you know that I'm aware of that. And so from now on, since you're having problems with the word no, we're going to practice the word no. You're going to have your homework done. You're going to have your room clean. A miracle manifestation right there. Everything's going to be just right. And because you need the practice, I'm going to tell you no. So we started working a word of knowledge. She was failing miserably. But all of a sudden, she started to get it. She started to get it. She started to react another way. The word was creating something in our home. And one week, man, I mean, she'd had a stellar week. Everything was clean. All of her homework was done. And I'd heard rumors about her wanting to go to this overnight party at one of her friends. And I came home on Friday night. Everything was in order. Everything was right. And she came up to me and she said, Dad, can I go to this bunking party at my friend's house tonight? And I said, no. And she quietly turned and calmly walked down the hall and very quietly shut her door and laid down on her bed and started to cry. And then I had another word of knowledge. Her mother spoke to me. And Amanda went to the bunking party. Point number two, what are we to experience now that the helper has come? What are we to experience now that the helper has come to reside in us? We are to witness, telling people everywhere about me, Acts 1:8 says. How do we witness? Our witness looks like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 that I read. If we're going to witness to people by the power of the Holy Spirit, it looks like this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it says there's no law against these things. There's no defense against this kind of person showing up to reconcile people in the family. I believe that this is one of the most supernatural things that you and I can do, is show up in someone's world demonstrating the reality of the fruit of the Spirit to them. What's the fruit? The fruit is that which is seen. The fruit is that which is desirable. The fruit is that which contains seed to reproduce. The fruit is that which will change and sustain and will cause growth to happen. When you and I show up demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit by loving people, by being joyful, by being at peace, by being patient with people, by being kind, by demonstrating the reality of the goodness of God, by being gentle, and by showing self-control, there's no law. That's how we witness. It looks like the fruit of the Spirit. What does it look like for us to witness? At some point, we're commanded to share or preach the gospel. And what does that look like? I'm stealing these words from Jim Richards' Take Control book. We need to share the gospel of peace. What does that look like? Here's what it looks like. That God has made peace with man through the Lord Jesus. Colossians 1:20. He has taken away the law that was against us and nailed it to his cross. Colossians 2:14. By the finished work of Jesus and our faith in him, we now stand before God holy and blameless. Colossians 1:22. He demonstrated his great love for us in the fact that Jesus paid the full price for our sin. 1 John 4:9 and 10. He has freely given us his love so that we have no fear of him at all. 1 John 4:18. All of this makes it possible for us to come boldly before the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16. This is the gospel that should be preached to people. This is the gospel of peace. The most important thing is that you and I, you know, my take on that, there are many important things. But my passion is that we are busy engaging people in our lives that don't believe like we do, demonstrating the reality of the family by the power of God that works through us, producing fruit in our lives, so that they can experience what their dreams are. What are their dreams? To experience the love of the family. That is the key that I say is the key to dream acceleration, when we become interested in the dreams of other people by simply including them in our life and by taking time. One of the things that I wanted to say in my session last night is I got to talking about time, because that was the commodity that Sherry and I had to share when we first came to Jesus, because we didn't have any ability. And any time that I use the phrase time and talking about giving it away as a gift, gifting our time as a gift for people, I automatically feel a wave of unbelief and stress. And that comes back to, he doesn't know my schedule. He doesn't know how busy my life are. He doesn't see all of the things that I have to do. And here's what I learned about time. I know this, that if you are in pursuit of your destiny, that God, who is the creator of all things, he will make time stand still for you to fulfill your destiny. There's a story in the Old Testament about a battle. And that battle was crucial to who? To the family. that battle was crucial to the family's protection, that for the family's growth. And that battle needed to continue, but the sun was going down. And you know the story, you know what happened. The sun stood still in the sky. You and I need to have faith about our time instead of unbelief that we don't have enough, because we do have enough. We might not manage it as good as we could, but we do have enough. And so I want to encourage you all today. I know this much about my own personal experience is that when we begin to engage people who don't believe like us, it is so much fun. It is so much fun. I have stories that I could tell you forever of the fun that we've had with people that don't believe like us, but it wouldn't be considered appropriate in this setting because some of those folks use a different vocabulary than you and I do in church. But it's just so much fun because we get to share. You can do that. How can you do that? I don't know. It's going to be different for everybody. For some of you, it's like Sherry and I, one of the things we like to do is I like to grill. You know, I mean, I'm a grill freak. I'm a grill this afternoon at Jim Richards' house. And you know, that's one of the things that we do. It's like we make it a deal. We invite people over. We invite people over that don't believe like us. We cook them dinner. We don't necessarily share our faith, but if they ask, I got an answer for the hope that lives within me, and it opens up the door. And most people, when they first come, they're so afraid that what they're going to get into is they're going to get into either an Amway meeting, or that you're going to open up and start, you know, nothing wrong with that. I ain't saying that I'm against that. But, you know, if that's your first contact with people, it's probably going to be your last. You know what I'm saying? But we have to, you know, we just make time for people and include them in our world. And that's different for everybody. There are times I play at a club in Kansas City every now and then. The owner's a good friend of mine called Knucklehead Saloon. And there are times that I'll just go to listen to the music that's there, and you'd be amazed at the process that it's taken for people to break down to actually come and start to engage me in conversation, because they know me as the Rev. Jimmy Bratcher, and they know what I do. And it's just amazing to watch as those walls start to come down. And all of a sudden in that environment, I'm their pastor. Whenever they have a crisis, they call us. When someone dies, they want us there. When there's pain and there's suffering, we get to be the one that pours in that healing and that support. And I know this much, it'll change your life when you do this, and do this on purpose. Make time for it. Let me pray for you. Father, as you commissioned us, Jesus, as you commissioned us, to go into every man's world, all cultural settings, and declare the good news. We're messengers of that good news. Lord, so I commission this group that when they get home, that they would on purpose seek out people that don't believe like they do, people that are desiring to experience the love of the family. And Lord, that they would experience that together. And Lord, that they would enlarge the experience of their life, Lord, by including these people. Lord, let fear not have place in this, but Lord, let faith. Lord, develop the skills and the communication skills necessary for us to all be able to be astute at doing this thing. And Lord, may we see the kingdom and the family advance greatly. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.